If you would grab your Bibles, open to Exodus 20. That's where we're going to start. Later will be Ephesians 5 and Matthew 5, but it's a very important subject today, as we can say that every Sunday, but it's one that really is attacked hard anymore. And we're going to continue in our series, In His Image, looking at the Ten Commandments as a reflection of God, because each one of them represent Him. And that's how we are supposed to carry His image. And the first four laws that we deal with, that we've already been through, is the first commandment, is no other gods before Him. We are to carry the image of the one true and living God. The second commandment is no graven images. So God is higher than any created item. You cannot draw, carve, design Him, because He is higher than anything we can imagine. Third commandment is honor His name, because His name represents His being. It will speak. How you treat His name speaks of what you think of Him. Fourth commandment is keeping the Sabbath, that we take our rest in the work of Jesus Christ. The next six deal with how we carry His image, how we represent Him. We saw a couple weeks ago, honor thy father and mother. Parents, our kids should be learning from us how to honor and serve the Lord. The sixth commandment we saw last week, thou shalt not kill. We should value life because God is life. And our commissioning is to introduce life in Jesus Christ. Today is the seventh commandment. And you may have peeked forward and looked ahead at what it is. It's one that was once even seen nasty and disgusting to the lost world. But today we see it increasingly acceptable to break this one, to justify the breaking of it, or it has become a joke used for entertainment. And if you'll have your Bible there in Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us first. We thank You that this is a representation of who You are. That You give this to us to carry Your image. Lord, I ask that each one of us be challenged in the seriousness of this commandment. That we each of us search our hearts, search our desires, search our actions, that we want to give You our best. We love You, Lord. In Your name I pray. Amen. Well, remember, as we say each week, adultery is not wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong because adultery is wrong. The Bible says adultery is wrong because God is faithful and God is holy. And that's why He tells us that are going to carry His image, that we should also not commit adultery. We should be faithful and holy. We don't need to speak too long about the destructive nature of the sin. It's a sin that's belittling to the spouse. It mocks a covenant of marriage that God created. It's destroyed homes and reputations and caused many deaths. And yet today we'll watch movies and plays, books, magazines that make this sin look silly, funny, cute, or justifiable. We hear this on TV as if it's acceptable today or just a simple mess up. Let me just share with you. Adultery is not a mess up. It's a sin before a holy God. And He carries it very heavily. As children of God, we're not to participate except to promote in sinful activity. Not because the Bible says so, but because we serve a holy and faithful God and we're to carry His image. And the Bible is how we know what His image is, how we know about His character. So the first thing I want to see is the seriousness of marriage. If you'll turn to Ephesians 5, I won't spend a lot of time in this text because I've been here so much. I love this text. It's very important for us. But we can't talk about the seriousness of adultery without talking about the seriousness of marriage. For our message about adultery to make sense, we've got to see the purpose of God's holy marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, go down to verse 25. Look at His call to us as married people. to you that want to be married, it's not okay to screw around now, because that is something. Sex is created for your marriage. And look what he says here in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. See the beauty of marriage? God created marriage as a reflection of his relationship with the church. And I say this often, and we're going to continue to, because of the value and the importance of marriage. That's why, since marriage reflects him and his church, it's a reason that it requires the husband and the wife to serve each other. Thank you. Because of the importance of marriage, it's a reason that marriage should suffer for one another, not because of one another. Either ouch or it's amen. Yeah? It's a reason marriage should reflect the love of Christ for his church. It's a reason marriage is the one institution he has given this deeper intimacy to. Above any other relationship, he has blessed with this gift, the gift of sex. I say it every time. You talk about the subject at church and it's like, oh! At school, normal. At work, it's a joke. On TV, all the time. Your cell phone, it's there. In church, right? But we know how destructive it is when we take the gift of God and we use it inappropriately. But use it outside of his purpose. He's given us sex within marriage for three reasons. For procreation. Saw that from the very beginning in creating Adam and Eve. He's given it to us for enjoyment. There we go. Okay. I was waiting for somebody. Thank you, sir. You can enjoy it. You don't think so? Read this book, Song of Solomon. He's also given it to us for unity. It's a deep, intimate act that's only to be used within marriage. God says, check this out, married people, enjoy it. And enjoy it a lot. Okay. If you don't understand it, read 1 Corinthians 7. I'm not going to get into it a lot. But it shares with you, listen, your body is her body and her body is your body. You have become one flesh. Enjoy one another. Okay? That's our responsibility within marriage. Marriage is not to be taken lightly. Marriage is the highest relationship you can have on earth. Aside of a relationship with Christ. Marriage is that important. God said it's a man and a woman becoming one flesh. You don't see that referred to anything else but an institution of marriage. That's why before marriage, you must evaluate who you're going to marry. You ain't married in here. You're single. I thought I was going to get in trouble. Coming up at me, and I'm like, did I say something bad? She's like, I heard what you said to say amen about. Jason said amen. No. Uh-huh. Yeah. Look at him, he's proud of it. He's like, that was me. We should take marriage serious even before we're married. You're single in here, marriage better be serious to you. You better consider who you are looking at to marry. First question is, are they believers? Not do they claim they're believers, but you see the fruit of God coming out of their life. They want to be obedient to him. Why? Because that person's supposed to lead you, ladies. Men, that person's going to raise your kids. Do they love the Lord? You with me? Don't ignore me now. If you're single, young people, teens, kids, who you're going to marry matters. Done way too much counseling on this and dealing with people. That you, really, the signs were there before they were married. But guess what? You know what? They were cute. They were funny. You know what? Funny gets old after a few years because you want to bond, you want to enjoy each other. Yeah, you're going to be funny. You're going to laugh together. But your marriage cannot be founded on that. Cuteness is nice, but your marriage cannot be founded on that. Because you know what? Other cute people will come around. So before marrying, you got to evaluate. First off, are they believers? Are they serious about their walk with Christ? Do they live now an honoring God, an honoring life to God? Not later, oh, I think they're going to change. I'll change them. No. Do you see them honoring God right now? You know, you want to see a way that you can tell? Ladies, men, how do they honor their parents? That'll reflect to you a lot on how they're going to honor their marriage. Again, it's either amen or it's an ouch. I need help here before you get mad at me, okay? But I'm not lying to you. I've dealt with this way too many times. Will they be a loving spouse for you? Will you desire to live with them for 100 years? Are they the person that you want raising your children? And then during marriage, here's the problem, is we get complacent if we're not careful. We cannot start taking our marriage for granted. Does my marriage reflect God's love and holiness? Do I serve my wife as Christ served the church to the point of giving up his life for her? Do I love and serve my husband as the church is called to serve and submit to the Lord? Let us search it out. But when we start to take our marriage lightly and for granted, and we take our focus off of one another, and we start to complain and start pointing out flaws instead of counting the blessings that they are, we start stop having regular intimacy, then you start to walk in dangerous territory. To where 1 Corinthians 7 and 1 Corinthians 10 both tell us that Satan brings temptations and problems. Give heed lest ye fall. Don't take your marriage for granted. Even if you're single right now, you can be praying for your future spouse. God knows who it's going to be. But the second thing we see, first of all, the importance of marriage. Second is the seriousness of adultery. It's a very serious act in God's eyes, and yet today it's become an entertainment. We hear of it often. Celebrities and athletes and politicians. We know it happens all around us, even within the church. How many pastors have fallen to this? Breaks our hearts. One of the men I followed for many years and listened to him and loved to listen to him debate on his deathbed, we started hearing the truth of his life. And it destroyed his reputation and all the work he had done. I've even heard jokes about adultery within the church. In other words, we have lost the fear of the Lord once we get to the point. We don't honor him for who he is and respect the seriousness he places on these things. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and a froward mouth do I hate, the Lord says. Fear of the Lord means I hate what he hates. That's the fear of the Lord. When we take lightly what God calls serious, we don't be shocked or blame God when this sin sneaks into your relationship. When your kids don't fear God and they choose to indulge in sin because you took God lightly in certain areas. God warns us about the misuse of sex and 1 Corinthians 6, listen to this. Verse 18 says, flee fornication. Catch the word? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth with his body, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Fornication is a word that means harlotry. Often we use it for a general word for sex. but it is the misuse of sex. Adultery, usually specifically, is speaking of a gift that God gave for the marriage itself, for the marriage bed. So often we refer to it only within marriage. But any time this gift of God is misused, God sees it as sin. Excuse me, my throat's about to fall out. Anything against God's character is outside of our purpose. Think of that for a second. Anything that is outside of God's character is outside of what God called us to do. If it doesn't fit God's character, it doesn't fit our calling. So if it's dirty, perverted, evil, mean, it's not for us. Because it's outside of His holy character. It'll bring harm to us. This passage in 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that you'll sin against God. Why? Because He's holy. He's been faithful to you, and yet you've violated His holiness. But not only in adultery do you sin against God, you sin against whom you drew into this act with you. You see the seriousness? So you sin against God, you sin against whoever you drew into the act with you, you brought them in instead of leading them to righteousness, which is your calling. And then you also sin against your spouse. If you're married, you sin directly against the spouse that you have made a covenant with and a promise with. Pretty important commandment here, isn't it? If you're not married, you with me? You sin against your future spouse by giving away what you were supposed to give them. See the importance here? Or purity? And then, according to 1 Corinthians 6, you also sin against your own body by not letting it be used for God's glory. God cannot bless this. The sexual act is to be protected, valued, guarded within the marriage bed. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. Read that again. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Pretty heavy lingo here. He said, God's created marriage honorable. Enjoy all you want. That's where you say amen again, Jason. Okay. If you're married, enjoy. God has given you that gift. Enjoy one another. But God uses two words in this verse for those who choose to use that gift outside of His boundaries. Whoremongers. And adulterers. Both misusing God's gift. One is a general term, the other one deals with marriage. Neither are a pretty term. And He says what? Both of them I will judge. Because He created this act as a holy gift within marriage. I've said it before, but let me say it again, because I was raised with a saying of save your purity for marriage. Everybody heard that? No. Save your purity for God. Because within marriage, your sex is pure and it is holy. When you get married, you do not lose your purity. Amen? Okay. So God has blessed us with this gift. Enjoy it within marriage. In Matthew chapter 5, turn over to Matthew chapter 5 with me. Because God, well, Jesus Christ takes us a little bit further to really give us a protection, to show us the depth of the importance of this law. In Matthew 5, go down to verse 27. Verse 27, it says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pretty deep, isn't it? Well, I can look but not touch. Is that what we just heard Jesus say? I'm a married man. There's one I can look upon with that thought. There's one I should pursue. There's one I can enjoy that with. Lucky you. That's the same with you. You have one that God has designed that you can enjoy it with. And if you're not married yet, that one is still ahead of you. It's a blessing of God. We thank God for His grace and His forgiveness. But we also understand that with His grace and forgiveness, there's also pain as a result of what we do. Not because He's angry, because He's forgiven, but because I have pursued in an area I shouldn't. How serious should I take this? Like Jesus said, did I look upon a woman and lust after her, committed adultery already with her in my heart? How serious is this? Continue there in Matthew 5, look at verse 29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast to hell. And if thy right eye hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You see the depth? That we are called to remain pure and holy? Cut it off. Pluck it out. Do anything you can to get rid of sin. But here's the truth. You can pluck your eyeball out and still lust, can't you? You cut your hand off and still find other ways to sin. You can pluck your body apart into pieces and continue to sin, can't you? Why do we struggle? I've done everything to stop. I've read books. I've wrote sentences. I got special apps. That's because those aren't the parts where the problem really initiates. Look at verse 28. Where does the problem initiate? Where? The heart. The heart. The heart. If your heart is not right with God, your actions are not going to be holy. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Everything you do, all your actions initiate from your heart. And nothing will fix the problem but to correct the heart. God told the nation of Israel in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away thy stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. He didn't say, I'm going to fix your heart. I'm going to give you a heart. I'm going to give you a good heart. I'm going to bless you. Only God can give you the new heart. And He does that at salvation. He does that at salvation. Sorry, I'm trying here. That's why we see in Ephesians 1 that after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. At salvation, old things have passed away and all things have become new. At salvation, God has given you the new heart. He's given you a spirit to give you a new mind so we can desire and think on holy and pure things. But we've got to act upon what He's given to us. And as we see the seriousness of marriage, the seriousness of adultery, let's see the third part, which is our duty, to carry God's image. As we've often seen, God created us to carry His image, His holiness, His righteousness, His love. And from the very beginning, what has God said? What has God desired from us from the very beginning? Speaking to His people as He created the Jews for His own glory. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, it says, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. See, the Jews, like many of us, wanted to claim his blessings. I'm going to get it. The Jews, like us, want to claim God's blessings, want to claim to be his children. But we wanted to stop there. So they became wicked and sinful and adulterers. God turned them over to their own sinfulness and let them suffer for it. The Jews, as we walk through Scripture, we see they become a wicked people, a sinful people in God's eyes. He rejected them. That's why we're to pray for them. Right? We're to bless them. How do we do that? By preaching Jesus, by taking the gospel to them. They're wicked, sinful people. That's why he says, I need to give you no heart, and one day I will. Yet his plan, even for those that wicked nation, he has a plan to use them. If you read through the book of Revelation, he's got a big plan for the Jews in the end time. So now God has called his church today. He has called you as church. If you place faith in Jesus and you become part of his church and you're a believer in Christ, here's what he's called you to do. In 1 Peter 1:15, he says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God has called you into holiness. And God says, just like I said to the Jews, I say it to you. Be ye holy, be ye faithful to me, as I have been to you. As I have demonstrated to you. See, adultery is not sinful because the Bible says so. The Bible calls adultery sinful because God is holy. The Bible calls adultery sinful because God is faithful. The Bible calls adultery sinful because marriage is to reflect God's holiness and faithfulness. This commandment to not commit adultery is not just a harsh law that Jesus added. Hey, it starts in the heart. This law is to guide us to be reflection of him. Thou shalt not commit adultery is protecting you from the enemy who sneaks around seeking who he may devour. This law is helping you fulfill your purpose in carrying God's image. This law is helping you to share the gospel, allowing your marriage to be a reflection of his love, his faithfulness, his holiness. This law is helping you love your spouse the way God loves us. You see that this law's purpose is that when we fulfill this law, we reflect God. Now today I'm going to call you out a little bit. In a second we're going to have a time of invitation. And husbands, I'm going to call you out today to value your marriage. I challenge you to spend some time praying with your wife during invitation today. Maybe you'll come forward to the altar. Maybe where you're at, you put your arm around her. But not just a time of being quiet, but a time to pray over her and with her. To pour your heart out that God would protect your marriage. That he would give you strength to be the man you're supposed to be in leading and protecting and providing. Singles, that you would pray for your future spouse and that you would be faithful to God's holiness so that when you come to your future spouse, you can give to them what God has blessed you with. So let us pray for the strength to honor God. Would you stand with me? This would be a time of invitation to just take advantage. to pray with those we love. To say, God, I struggle with this. And my struggle is not my wife's fault. My struggle is not my husband's fault. My struggle is because I allow sin to creep into my life. And Lord, I want to turn that over to you. Why? Because what I allow in my heart is the beginning of adultery. It's allowing that seed to be planted that can cause a division, that can steal the glory from God. And right here with your spouse, I hope you would put your arm around her, bring her to the altar, and have a time of just praying, Lord, guard us, protect us, strengthen us. Let us do what we're supposed to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us and for your presence. I thank you that you created marriage. I thank you that you have a purpose for marriage. But I thank you for the gift you have given to us. Lord, and I ask that you give us the strength and desire to use that gift according to your plan. And Lord, at this time, I ask that each one in here, I ask that your spirit would be on each one of us. Lord, that you would search us and try us and know us and lead us to the way everlasting. And it's this time of invitation we'd honor you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed. Let's spend some time with your spouse. Anybody wants to come to the altar? The altar is